Today's shir is Masechet Pesachim Daf Tes. We're going to begin on Daf Ches Amud Beis, about 15 lines from the bottom. So we learned in the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Perek, the Mishnah spoke about the wine cellar. Asked the Gemara, Martif Man Dechar Shmei. We're learning a Mishnah, and all of a sudden the Mishnah mentions something about a wine cellar. How does it flow into our Mishnah? Answer the Gemara, Hachakama. What the Mishnah means to teach us is as follows. Wherever chametz is not brought, ain't tzarech bedika, there's no requirement for bedika. Wine cellars, where the oil is kept, there's no requirement to do bedika. Where is there a requirement to be bedik? Two rows, and we'll explain that in a minute what two rows are. Makam shemachnis by chametz, a place where chametz is brought in, umestapik, and people will go there during the meal, and there's a concern, as we discussed yesterday, that they may walk in there with a piece of bread during a meal, and that's why bedikas chametz is required. So we learned in the Mishnah, a machloikis between Beisham and Beisil, exactly where in the wine cellar bedikas chametz is required. Beisham said, Beishuris apnei kolamartif. Two rows on the whole wine cellar. What does that mean? So there's a machlokes what Beis Shammai means. Amr Yehuda, Shtei Shuris Amru. When Beis Shammai said you have to inspect two rows, what does it mean? From the floor to the ceiling. Rav Yochanan Amr, Shur Achas Kamin Gam. It should look like a gam, which is a Greek letter that looks like a chaf sofia, an endechaf, which means the outside row and the top row. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Yehuda, Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Yochanan. The Brayis is to corroborate each shita. Tanya Kavasi Rabbi Yehuda, Beis Shammai Amrim, Shtei Shuris Apnei Kol Amartif. The two rows that Beis Shammai say is Shtei Shuris Amru. These two Shuris Min Aretz V'Shmei Kaira. Two rows, the outermost two rows, the two rows that you face from floor to ceiling. Tanya Kavasid Rabbi Yochanan, but there's a brayse like Rabbi Yochanan. Shtei shuris apnei kolamativ. When Beis Shammai says two rows, it means chitzoina rois apesach, the outer one that you see when you walk in, valyoina, and then the top one rois akar, the top row facing the ceiling. Shlafnimi menu, anything past the first row, vishlamatim, and anything below the top row, ain't tzarech bedika. Then we continue learning the Mishnah. Beisela Oimrim, Shtei Shuris Chetzayna Shehein El Yoynes. The two upper Shuris. What does that mean? So the Machloikis Rav and Shmuel, what Beis Shammai mean? Beisela mean. Omer Rav, El Yoyna Vishalamati Mana. It means the top two rows. Beshmuel Oimer, El Yoyna Vishalamati Mana. The top row, and then the row behind it, the top row of the second row. My Tam the Rav. What is the basis for the machlokes? So Gemara says the Rav Dai Chitzonis. Rav says that the main operative word in our Mishnah in explaining Beis Hillel Shita is Chitzonis Shehein El Yoynis. So he says we're more concerned about outside than top. So it means that's why the top two outside rows. V'Shmuel Am El Yoynis V'Shluf Nimim. And what Beis Hillel is coming to say is that anything below the top two rows doesn't need bedika. That's what Shmuel's sheet is. My time. What's the basis for Shmuel understanding Beis Hillel that way? Dayak El Yoynes. He puts the emphasis on the word El Yoynes, so we look at the two top rows. Ask the Gemara for Chitzayin Ketan. It says only the outside. And according to Beis Hillel, it's not only the outside, it's one row behind the outside. So what Shmuel says, Beis Hillel means with that, is Lamuti Gavyasa de Gavyasa. Anything deeper than the first two rows. So Tosfos explains that the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel is where to put the emphasis. Do you put the emphasis on the word El Yoyna, or do you put the emphasis on the word Chitzayin? There's a beautiful pshat from the Gra. The Gra says that the machloikis of Rav and Shmuel is connected to the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan. We learned a moment ago that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have, Beis Shammai's understanding, you have to go from floor to ceiling for the top, for the first two rows. So Rav is addressing that. And he's saying, Beishamai says you go from floor to ceiling. I say you don't have to go from floor to ceiling. You have to go from top to bottom, only the top two rows. Shmuel is addressing Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says you do the first row, the top two, and then you go all the way to the depths. And there comes along Beis Hillel and says, no, you don't have to go all the way to the depths, only the first two outside rows. So Rav and Shmuel were really reflecting what Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda said. Rav Chiya Tani Kavosi the Rav. Rav Chiya learned the Braisa. The Rav's understanding of Beis Hillel is correct. The Kula Tanoi Tani Kavosi the Shmuel. All the other Tanoim had Braises like Shmuel. Vilchus Kavosi the Shmuel. The Halach is like Shmuel. But it's interesting when you look in the Rishonim, many Rishonim don't say that Halach is like Shmuel. Why? So two Pshatim. One pshat is because they don't have this last line of our Gemara, that the Gemara says that Hilchos Kavasei D'Shmuel, or because we have a klal in Shas, Hilchos Karabi Surah, that whenever it's a shail of Issa V'Heter, we pass it in like Rav. This is a shail of Issa V'Heter, and that's why we pass it in like Rav.
What is
the Hilchos Kavasei D'Shmuel? They hold that Hilchos Kavasei D'Shmuel, but that's not true because we have a more important rule, Hilchos Kavasei D'Rav. Says the Mishnah, we do not have to be concerned that a weasel moved the chametz from one house to another house, or from one room to another room in the house. Dim kain, if we're going to start being concerned about that, we have to always be concerned, and then we can never do bedikas chametz. So the Rambam explains the Mishnah, that this Mishnah is a continuation of the first Mishnah we learned. We learned the first Mishnah, and we really spoke about it today. The makom she'ein machnisim by chametz, a place where chametz is not brought. Bedikas chametz is not required. So our Mishnah explains why, because we don't have to be concerned that any animal brought chametz there. Tosfos and Rashi say that this Mishnah is an independent Mishnah. The first Mishnah was discussing in a place like where we live, hopefully, where there are no weasels. So there's certainly no reason to be concerned that a weasel brought the chametz. This Mishnah is telling us that even in a place where weasels are found, we don't have to be worried that a weasel is going to bring the chametz. The Pnei Yeshua says that the Mishnah says, Mibayis Labayis, we don't have to worry that a weasel took the chametz from one home to another, or Makom Makom from one room to the other room. So he says, if he didn't take it from one room to another room, he certainly didn't take it from one house to another house. So why do we have to say any bias to bias? So he says it's loizu afsu. We don't really have to mention bias to bias. What the Mishnah is saying is, not only from one house to another house don't we have to be concerned, but even in one house, from one room to another room, you don't have to be concerned. Now the Rishonim ask, let's say we did have to be concerned. So how could we ever do bedikas chametz? If you have this concern, how would you ever be able to accomplish bedikas chametz? So the Rishonim say, a few ways. Either you would have to have a number of people doing bedikas chametz at one time, and like that you'll have every room covered simultaneously, and you don't have to worry that there was anything, that an animal could have moved it while you were in another room. Other Rishonim say that you would have to have a shomer in the house, you would have to have a guard making sure no animals are there. But our Mishnah says ein ladavar saif, because if you would do that, you would never have an end. So what's our Mishnah saying? Our Mishnah is saying that really maybe you should be concerned. But Chazal said that because ein ladavar saif, because we can never come to an end, don't worry about it. So there are two very, very fundamental shailas that the mefarshim, and these are fundamental in understanding today's shir, have to be addressed. One is, we have a klal throughout Shas, sovik drabbanan lekula. Whenever we have a drabbanan issue, we go lekula. But dikas chametz, as we've been learning, is a drabbanan. So if it's drabbanan, why are we starting to say that we should be worried about a weasel? We're dealing with a drabbanan. Drabbanan, we could be makel. Moreover, the mefarshim ask, here we have a situation of a sfek sfeika. First of all, we have a suffix if there's a weasel, and if there was a weasel and he did schlep some chametz, perhaps he ate it up. And we know that we're always makel on a sfek sfeika. So why does our Mishnah say, because ein ladavar saif, because I can't do it, because it'll never be able to be accomplished? The Mishnah should have said it's a sfek drabbanon. The Mishnah should have said it's a sfek sfeika. So the Mefarshim explained, this is a fundamental approach to understanding today's shir, that bedikas chametz, although the chiyuv b'dikas chametz is drabonon, you can't just say it's a drabonon and has all the same rules. B'dikas chametz, and there's a lot of ways of explaining it, because it's the chomer of chametz, how serious chametz is, because it really is related to the deraisa is a bayiro, a bayimotzei, because it's a mitzvah that chazal were mechayiv us, because it's something that could be done, does not have the same status like every drabonon. Does not have the same status like every svek sveka, and therefore would require bedikas chametz, if not that the Mishnah taught us ein l'davar seif. And if you think about it, and the Pnei Yeshua says this, every bedikas chametz is that way. Yesterday we explained that bedikas chametz has to be done b'churim v'sadakim. You have to do it in all the cracks in that, of the house. So again, you should have the same shayla. Who says there was chametz ever brought to that crack in your house? And if there was, who said that it's still there? You still have to do bedikas chametz. You have to use a candle to get there. So you see that the entire concept of bedikas chametz was based in situations that as many as sveikas and as many reasons to believe that you have no problem, you still have to do bedikas chametz. Says the Gemara, Tam de lechazina de shakel. So why in our Mishnah don't you have to do bedikas chametz? Because we don't see any weasel. I have nothing to worry about. Ha chazina de shakel. Had I seen a weasel here, chashin, then I would have to be concerned. Or by bedika, and I would have to do bedikas chametz. Ask the Gemara b'mei, name an achlasay. Even if there's a weasel, why shouldn't we say that the weasel ate up the chametz? Where do we see such a concept in Malacha? Milay tnan. Meduras ha'akim tameyim. The homes of goyim are considered tamei. The kama yishuv mod we hear mod tzar bedika. How long does a goy's home, is it considered tamei? After how long is he in there? Abayim yoyim. For 40 days, even though he doesn't have a wife. Why did Chazal say that the homes of the Akum are Tameh? Because we're concerned that their wives had a miscarriage, and instead of taking the baby to a cemetery and burying it, they left it in the house. And like the Rishonim explained, either this Gemara is going according to the man of Omer, that Akum are Matam of oil, or it's going according to man. Everybody agrees that Akum, when he's dead, if you touch him, is metame, and we're concerned that you may touch the Akum when you're in the house. Why 40 days? Because 40 days is the amount of time that a child that's born, a stillborn that's born, will be considered a mace. If it wasn't developed after 40 days, then there's nothing. Then it's not considered a nafil. It can't be metame. Now, when we say this halacha, we have to take the approach of understanding that this is not necessarily a halacha that has to be make complete sense. What do I mean? I don't want to say it in the wrong way. Because what does 40 days mean? And let's say he moved into his house today, and his wife is 39 days pregnant. And today is the first day she's there, so it's ready the 40th day. So why do we say it has to be there 40 days? Tosfos tells us that this halacha only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. So obviously this halacha is not just a halacha that we have reason to believe. Chazal made such a gzeira, but these are the rules. The rules are he has to live there for 40 days, he has to be in Eretz Yisrael, and even though he doesn't have a wife, but we're concerned he might have a companion that we don't know about. Now, that's not a mishnah continues. But wherever there's weasels or pigs there, ain't sarbadika. Why? Because we could assume that it ate it up. So let's go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is telling us that if we saw a weasel, we have to be concerned there's chametz there. Why do I have to be concerned? Even if he ate it, even he's there, he ate it up. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Zera Lakasha. There's no problem. Have a basa, have a lechem. The Mishnah over there is talking about flesh. Our Mishnah is talking about bread. The basa, loy mishayir. Meat, it has no leftovers. It likes meat. But lechem mishayir. But bread, it may leave over. Amar Rava, hai mai. I don't understand. Bishlam Mahasam, you can't compare the two situations. Number one, Eima Hava, Eima Loi Hava. Who said there is a stillborn? Vim Tim Tzaloi Mahava, and even if we'll say there was a stillborn, Eima Achosei, the weasel ate it up. So there's only, so we have a Svek Sveka. Aval Hocha, the Vade de Chazina de Shokel. We see a weasel, with chametz. And Rashi makes a very important point. It's not just that we saw the weasel with chametz. We saw the weasel with the chametz entering the home. So we know that there was chametz here. Now you have a shaila, miyem ed achlasa. Maybe it was the weasel ate it up. Have a suffix of vaday. We know for sure chametz existed here. We have a suffix that perhaps it got eaten up. Vein suffix mitzvah de vaday. So a suffix cannot be stronger than a vaday. Now Tysus asks a very important question. We have a klal, suffix tumme brishus harabim. What is a suffix tumme brishus harabim? It's tamei. Suffix tumme brishus hayachid is tahor. Suffix tumme brishus harabim is tahor. Suffix tumme brishus hayachid is tamei. Here we're dealing with brishus hayachid, a guy's house. So yes, the Gemara said it's a svek sveika. But even if it's a svek sveika, suffix tumme brishus hayachid is tamei. So Tysus says two truths. One teretz is, we're going to learn tomorrow that there's a man d'omer that holds that Sofik Tamer B'Shus HaYochid is Tamei is not by Svek Sveika. By Svek Sveika, Sofik Tamer B'Shus HaYochid is also Tar. But that's not the way we paskin. So Taisa says a very important aside. He says, even though Sofik Tamer B'Shus HaYochid is Tamei, even when it's a Svek Sveika, but when things are so obvious that we should not have a concern, then we'll make them. Here we have so much reason to be mekel. The whole thing of being concerned that there's a stillborn here is something that we invented, and that the animal ate it up is very possible. So therefore, we don't have to be concerned. Tysus calls it a suffic harogel, terminology we should know. And such a suffic, we could be mekel even brishus hayochid. Ask the Gemara, is this true? What we just said that ain't suffic mitzvim de vaday, that is a vaday, something certain is stronger than a suffic. Vatanya, we learned. Chavir Shemes. We know that Chavir is a person who's been identified, that he's makbid on Tumah v'Tahara. He's makbid, take off all maizris and trumas from his produce. And here you have a Chavir that passed away. V'niach megura melei peiris, and he left over a warehouse full of fruit. V'afilahem b'nei yoyman, even though they were just brought into the warehouse yesterday, harem b'cheskos musukonim, we could be sure that all the trumas and maizris were removed. Now the Yerushalmi discusses if this Chavir Shemes is it talking about somebody who died in his bed, he knew he was sick, but if somebody who died suddenly, then we would not be Mekel. That's how the Yerushalmi says. The Meiri says, since our Gemara doesn't make that distinction, our Gemara is talking about any Chavir Shemes. Now let's analyze that case. These Peiris are certainly Tevel. Every Peiri is Tevel. The Sofik Musarin, the Sofik Loi Musarin, if Maisa was or was not removed is not more than a doubt. And yet Kasi Sofik or Maitzmi Vaday, we said that the Sofik that he took it off is stronger than the Vaday that he did not, that it was Tevel. And it's Gemara Hasam Vaday or Vadayu. It's not a Sofik, it's a Vaday. The Vaday Masri, we know for sure that the Chavir took off Maisris. Kirav Chanina Chazar, as a statement we had from Chanina Chazar, Dom Rav Chanina Chazar, Chazak al Chavish ein Moitzi Mitachs Yad Adavish ein Mesokan. We have a Chazak, we have a strong assumption that the Chavir always takes off Maisris. Ask the Chachmas Adam, why do we have to say Chazak? We could have said Roiv. Roiv Chaverim Masaknin. Roiv Chaverim, take off Maisris. Why does the Gemara pick a Chazak versus a Roiv? So Chachmas Adam answers that a roiv that depends on a person's action is not considered a legitimate roiv. This roiv is depending on this chavir taking off ma'aser. That's not called a roiv. So that's why we had to come on to chazaka. So it's not a situation of sofik and vaday. It's vaday and vaday. B'ribay seima. Another answer. Sofik v'sofik hu. That situation with the chavir with the ma'aser is also sofik v'sofik. Dilma mikara eimad loytivli. Perhaps it wasn't Tevel. Why? Kamer of Aisha. Damer of Aisha. Marm Odom al Tvuasai. A person can make a subterfuge how his Tvua should not be Mechuyiv Maestris. The halacha is that for food, for produce, to Mechayiv Trumas Maestris, you have to have two preconditions. It had to have been processed and brought into the house after the processing through the front door. If you bring it in, B'moitshaloi. If you bring it in when it's still in the shaft, before it's processed, then kedei shtei behem toichelis, that his animal's allowed to eat it, uptur min ha'maisa. So now let's deal with the situation. Yes, it's a suffix that if Maisa was removed. But it's also a suffix if Maisa is mechuyif to be removed. Why is it a suffix of Maisa mechuyif to be removed? It might have been brought in through the front door. Ask Rashi and before it was processed. Ask Rashi and Tosfos, that's good for animal food. But humans aren't allowed to eat it until Maisa is removed. So how are we answering the question? So one answer that they give is, yeah, we're talking about animal food here. That you could give it to the animal because it's a suffix and a suffix. Another answer that's given is that when do you have to take it off for humans to be allowed to eat it, even though it was brought in to the house when it was unprocessed, is only if it could come to Chiv Deraisa. But this produce can never come to Chiv Deraisa. Why could it never come to Chiv Deraisa? Because it was brought in unprocessed, so there humans will be allowed to eat it also. That's a very big chiddush. It's a machlokes rishonim if that's true. Why is the machlokes rishonim dependent on? It's dependent on another shaila. What's going to be the halacha if you brought in the produce to the house unprocessed? Then you process it, and then you take it to another house. Will they now be mechuyvim in trumas and maisus midaraisa or not? If you say that they will be, which is the way the Rambam learns, so therefore humans can't eat it at this date. If you say that once it was brought into the house unprocessed, it can never be mechuyev and meister midaraisa, even if you'll take it to another house, so there's no need that even humans could eat it. Another way of explaining the Gemara is that we're dealing here with a drabonon. And since we're dealing with drabonons, the humans eating it now, the chiv to take off, will all be drabonon. By drabonon, we say sofik meitz midei vadai. But then we have the old question that we asked before. If the Gemara's teretz here is that since we're dealing with a drabonon, we say that a sofik could be stronger than a vadai, so then why don't we say it by bedikas chametz? The answer is, like we said at the beginning, bedikas chametz is not a regular drabonon. Now there are two questions the Rishonim ask. If that's the point here, that it's a drabonon, and that's why we could be mekel, so then why does it have to be a chover? It could even be Amoritz. Let's say an Amoritz has Paris. He died. We don't know if he took off Meiser. We should again be potter because it's a Suffolk for Suffolk. It was saying that it's a Drabonon and we're makel by Drabonons, so it shouldn't strictly be a Chavr. It could be an Amoritz also. So Rishonim answer, when we're concerned that Chavr didn't take off, Amoritz didn't take off Meiser, it's not just some sort of a Suffolk. It's a presumption. Just like we have a presumption that a Chavr does, we have a presumption that Amoritz doesn't. But then there's another question that the Rashba asks. If we're talking here about a chaver, so he's a very scrupulous person. If he's a scrupulous person, does he try subterfuges to bring in the tvua to the house that it should be mechuyev meiser? A chaver does it right. So the Rishonim answer that the chaver wants to do it right, but since he's concerned that somebody may eat it, so he does the subterfuge to make sure that nobody's going to be over the raisa. The Sfas Emes explains it a little better. He said the situation here is Mamon of Shach. Let's think it through. If the person's a chaver, so he took off Trumas and Maisris. If he's not a chaver, he tried a subterfuge not to be mechuyev with Trumas and Maisris. So no matter how you slice it, we have nothing to worry about, and that's why it's only a suffix. Continues the Gemara, Vein Sofik Moitz Midei Vadai. Is this a fact that a Sofik is never stronger than a Vadai? Vatanya. On review, the Maisa B'Shev Chosu Shemaitzik Echad B'Rimai. There was a story with a maid of one of the strong people in Riman. Shetila Nefalabar. She put a stillborn into a pit. Obar Kain V'Hetzitz Bar. And a Kain came to look at this stillborn. Leidim Zachu V'Nekevi. To determine if it was a male or a female. Because the halach is that when a male is born, for the first 7 days, the mother is tamei no matter what. For the next 33 days, she's tar no matter what. And we always say that this is midaraisa. These halachas don't apply nowadays. And by a nekeva, by a female, she's tamei for 14 days no matter what. And she is tar for the next 66 days no matter what. Obar maisa. This story came to the Chacham v'Tiru, and they said the coin is tar because there are animals there that certainly would have dragged out the fetus. Now let's understand. Certainly there was a stillborn. The suffix of Ruah, the suffix of Lag Beruah, and there's a suffix of the animal pulled it out. Hayishat at that point. And we're saying the Ka'os is Sofik. The Sofik that it was gone is stronger than Maitzin Devadai and the Kainis Tahar. Now Taisus explains a few points. Taisus says that we're not talking about the Shifcha herself, because the Shifcha is non-Jewish, and as we said before, the fetus of a non-Jew may not be Matama Ba'oyim. So he says what happened here was that the Jewish owner's wife, who is Jewish, had this stillborn, and she told her Shifcha to deal with the stillborn. So now we have a Jewish fetus. Taisus also says that the Kohen was a Kohen Shaita. Not my terminology, it's Taisus' terminology. Why was a Kohen Shaita? Because he had really no right to be Matama to a stillborn. Could even the Rishonim explain that the stillborn might have been related to this Kohen? A Kohen that's allowed to get related to, allowed to get Tomei to a relative, is only when the Tomei was a fully developed child. But when you have a Nephil, he has no right to be Matam himself. So even if we'll say that this Kohen was a relative, he was a fool. He didn't know the halacha that he's not allowed to be Matam himself. But we're saying that he was tar anyway because we said that the animal schlepped it out. Aitzes Sofik Vavadai. Says the Gemara, Loi Tema. Don't explain Shetil and Nephil Abar. Don't explain that for sure what she put in was a stillborn. Elema Shetil Kamin Nephil Abar. We're not sure that this was a stillborn. It might have not been developed even to a stillborn. It might have been less than 40 days. Actually, the Poskim discuss here the Shaila about a Nephil requiring Rechmanu Litzlan Kvura. From here it seems that a Nephil requires Kvura. And that's our minig. Our minig is that even stillborns are buried in a separate section in the cemetery. Not necessarily you make a mitzvah, but you bury them in a cemetery. The Marsham says that if it didn't make it to 3 months, it doesn't even require burial. Many are make machmer even on that. So says the Gemara, Loi teimish teil and nefil abar, el eimish apil can nefil abar. So v'av a sofik v'sofik. We're not sure there was anything there. Says the Gemara, v'aleidim zochem nekevihi. It obviously was a stillborn and just wanted to determine this gender. Says the Gemara, hachikama. What he wanted to do was like this. Leidim ruach apila and nefil apila. First there was a shaila, was it a stillborn? It wasn't even that much. V'im tim tzalayim and nefil apila, if it was a stillborn, now we need to know leidim zochuvim nekevahu. So that's why we're more makel there. V'boi seima. So it's a svek svekam. It's for sure. Why? Kim the chodel of baal is mitzuyim sham. If there are animals there, vade geruba hayshata, then we can be certain that they schlepped it out. Because ney shuri mishaira. Even if you're going to say that the animal won't eat up this fetus immediately, migra mias vade geruba hayshata, they certainly schlep it out. They won't leave it there. So since they won't leave it, it's not a Sofik Uvadai, it's a Vadi Uvadai. Ask Taisus again his old question. It's a Sofik Tumei B'Rishus HaYachid. And we learned in Amun Aleph that a Sofik Tumei B'Rishus HaYachid is always Tumei. So one teretz Taisus gives is that the Kohen was standing in Rishus HaRabim. And since he was standing in Rishus HaRabim, it's a Sofik Tumei B'Rishus HaRabim, and Sofik Tumei B'Rishus HaRabim is Tahar. Another teretz Taisus gives, and this is the teretz that we learned earlier, that again, since we have such strong reason to believe that there's nothing to worry about here, like we said in the previous teretz, we don't know what was there, and the animals very likely did schlep it and take it away, so it's a Sofik Harogel, it's a strong Sofik, and like we explained earlier in the shir, even though Sofik Tumei B'Rishus HaYachid is Tahar, when we have such strong reason to believe that there's nothing to be concerned about, even in B'Rishus HaYachid will be Mekel. Ask the Gemara, Umi Amirin Ein Choshish and Shema Gura Cholda. So our Mishnah says that in the normal circumstances, we don't have to be concerned that a weasel comes and schleps the chametz. For Ketani Sefer, we're going to learn in the Mishnah on Daf Yoram Abayis, Mash Mishayir, after you do B'dikas chametz, Yenichena B'tzuna. You have to be careful to put all the chametz away. Why? Shlo Yitzarach B'dika Akrav. Because if you won't put the chametz all in a separate protected place, we're concerned that a chold is going to come and take the chometz. So we see that we are concerned about the choldus. Amr Abaye, so Abaye answers, loy kasha, haba abba osa, haba shloish osa. The Mishnah Daf Yudam Abayis is talking about on abba osa, which is already Erev Pesach. Our Mishnah is talking about shloish osa, which is 2 days before Pesach. B'shloish osa, on the 13th of Pesach, or earlier, the shchich rufta b'kule beisi, plenty of bread at home, loy mitzna. The weasel has no reason to hide the chametz. He can get plenty of bread where he got the first bread from. However, ba'ab osa, on the Erev Pesach, the loy shchicha rufta b'kule beisi, there's not so much bread at home, so it's nervous, what am I going to have to eat? Mitzna. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav v'chichod u'navihi, is this weasel such a prophet to know what's happening here? The Yoda, the Idna Abesa, they know today's Erev Pesach. They know there's not going to be too much food at home on Erev Pesach. And it puts away bread. And this is a play in words, because a Cholda was the name of one of the Nevi'os. One of the Nevi'os, that's why the Gemara says, V'chicholda Nevi'ahi, that it should know. El Amarava. Why mashmashar yenichena b'tzina? Why do you have to put it away? Shematitul cholda b'fanenu. Perhaps a weasel will come. V'yetzorach b'dika achrav. That means like this: if you put it away and nothing happens, great. But if you put it away in an unprotected place, you stay in the risk that a cholda is going to come. And if the cholda comes and takes it away, you'll be in trouble. So ounces prevention is very worthwhile. So put it lechatchil in such a place that you shouldn't have a problem. It says the Gemara, there's a braisa that says that. Tanya kavasa de rabba, haroitza lachal chometz acha bedika. Somebody wants to eat chometz after bedika. Ketzad yasa, what should we do? Mash mishayr, what he has left over. Yenechene betzina, put it away. Shloi tova cholda, betito befenenu, to prevent a cholda from coming, and if the cholda comes and takes it, for yitzorach bedika achrof. Remeri yama, different turrets. Gzeri shem yinich eser, maybe you're going to put away 10 pieces of bread, v'yim tzatesh, then you only find 9 pieces of bread, and then you're in trouble. So again, to prevent it, put the chametz in a protected place. So first of all, the Mefarshim say this is the makar that we put away 10 pieces of bread. You see that they started with 10 pieces of bread. Lahalocha, the Shulchan Aruch, brings down both these reasons, because Rav and Rameri are not arguing. They're just mentioning different concerns. They're not arguing, and the Shulchan Aruch brings down both concerns. Now let's talk about Rav's concern. Rav says that the halacha is that after Bedikas Chometz, put away the Chometz in a protected place, because you want to avoid problems, because if you'll see a Cholda taking your Chometz, you'll have to do Bedikas Chometz again. So the Mishnah Brewer says that this is the halacha. You have to put it away. People don't know that. And it's not only the food that you have from Bedikas Chometz. The Mishnah Brewer says people make an error. They think that the 10 pieces of bread that we collected, that I have to put away. But what about if I have other chametz in the house that I don't have to put away? It's not true. The halacha applies to everything. And the Bach takes it a step further. And Shulchan Aruch Rav paskens like the Bach. Not only do you have to put all the bread, all the stuff that you have for chametz away after you did Bedikas chametz, even before Bedikas chametz. In other words, let's say you put out the chametz in the house for Bedikas chametz, and then you have also some chametz. You have to be careful that chametz during Bedikas chametz should be put in a secluded place. Because you don't want to have a situation that while I'm being by the chametz in the dining room, I have my chametz left open in the kitchen, and who knows what's going to happen to it, and my bedikas chametz is worthless. So that's why, during bedikas chametz, you should be careful to have the chametz put away. And remember, by my father, Oliver Shalom, the chametz that was left in the house during bedikas chametz, we put outside the house. We put it outside the house. It's this halacha. But the machzik bracha, because of Rav Meri's concern, says the Gevaldige Eitzah. What did Rav Meri say? That we're concerned that you're going to put out 10 pieces of bread, then you'll be down to 9, so obviously something happened to that piece of bread, and you're going to have to do Bedikas Chametz again. Says the Machzik Bracha, be careful to use small pieces of bread. There's no shear to the pieces of bread. You don't have to use the kazayis, you're not going to eat the bread. Because if you're going to use pieces of bread that are kazayis or larger, you're going to have a very difficult time if you don't find that chametz. Because bittel doesn't work on a piece of bread that's larger than the kazayis. But if you have a piece of bread that's smaller than kazayis, So we learned earlier this week that bittul works for less than a kazayis, so you'll be able to do bittul and you'll be all right. Continues the Gemara. Teish tzeburin shel matzah, vechet shel chametz. You have 10 piles. You have 9 piles of matzah and 1 pile of chametz. V'asa achba v'shakel, and a rat, a mouse, came and took v'layidina I matzah shakel, I chametz shakel. We don't know if he took matzah or he took chametz. Says the Gemara, Haina Teisha Chaniyus. It's the story of 9 stores, which we're going to discuss in a minute. Pirish. And what happened first was that one of the pieces fell away. And then after it fell from its original place, then Osa Achba V'Shakel, the rat, the mouse, came and took it away. Haina Seifa. That's the second part of the Mishnah we're going to learn now. The Tanan. Teisha Chaniyus Kula Meichem Basa Shluta. You have 9 stores that sell kosher meat. V'achem acheres basar nevela, and one sells non-kosher meat. V'lokach meches mehen. Somebody went to one of these stores. V'eini yedeya b'eiz men lokach. And you don't know which store did you go to. You know, you forgot. Did I go to the kosher store or to the non-kosher store? So then our loch is, even though roiv of the stores, 90% of the stores are kosher, the loch is sveika osar. It's still a machmer. We know that we always go with roif. The halacha is kol kavul kamechza mechza. Since these stores are in set places, the stores are where they are, so it's always, every store is considered like 50-50, so we don't have a roif. No, so the first case is you went to the store, or you went to the pile. So it's not pirish. That's the next case. Now there's an interesting shaila from the Shara Ephraim for the night of Yehuda. Let's say you have, this could be very passable, you have 10 stores in the neighborhood. 9 stores are kosher, 1 store is not kosher. But you know that one non-store kosher store, it's a mega store. And that one non-kosher store has more non-kosher meat than the 9 kosher stores combined. So what do I say? If I look at this way, every store is kosher. We have more kosher stores than treif stores. Or do I say that I look at the amount of meat? So both the Nadav Yehuda and the Shara Ephraim say that we always go basar roiv of the stores, and we don't look at the amount of meat. Now we go further. So that's the same thing. If the rat went to the chametz, we say to the pile, it's a kavua, and even though most of the piles were matzah, you'll have to do bedikas chametz over again. What about the next case was benimtza? That means a piece of bread, a piece of meat, going back to that mishnah, is found in the street. Holachacha roiv. There we go after the roiv. Why? Because here we say, called the parish meruba parish. Whatever went, we say went from the roiv. And since the roiv is kosher, we can assume that the meat is kosher. Here too, if first a piece of whatever it is got disengaged from where it was, and then the rat took it, we say called the parish meruba parish, and we can remake them. So as we said a moment ago, Rashi explains that what is the relevance of this halacha. The relevance of this halacha is regarding doing bedikas chametz again. So Tosfos asks, the bedikas chametz is a drabonon. For the drabonon, we can remake it when we have a suffix. So Tosfos gives 2 truths. One teretz is that we're already dealing on Erev Pesach after Shor Shishis, where bittul is no longer doable, as we learned earlier this week. So now the only way of dealing with it is by doing bedikas chametz again. Or Tosfos says that the issue on the table is not about doing bedikas chametz, because to avoid the problem you could just do bittul. The issue here is, are you allowed to eat this piece of bread, this piece of whatever it is in front of you? And that's the shaila. Why doesn't Rashi agree with Tosfos? The Rashi says that the issue on the table is bedika. It goes back to what we said the whole shiur today. Because Rashi learns that bedikas chametz is not like every derabonon. Every derabonon is where you have a situation, it's a mitzvah derabonon. But since, as we explained, bedikas chametz, just let's coin a terminology, it's my own terminology, is a super derabonon, It doesn't have the same status of all the Rabbanans, and that's why we're machmer on it, even though it's the Rabbanan. And that's why Rashi says that if it came from Makom Kavua, Bedika again will be required.